Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. I have Jeremy Dayton at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Here's today's lineup. In just a moment, Michael Lett, CEO and founder of the U.S. Invest USA, going to be talking about the latest on Hunter Biden laptop news. Judd Garrett will be here also, and he'll be talking about practical morality. And then the world-famous Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, with all of his latest, including medical professional scientific community, must issue mea culpa on its deadly COVID policies. Yes, you just never know there, right? And by the way, what was I going to say? Judd Garrett, his website, always got to make sure you know it. It's objectivityistheobjective.com. Right now, I want to go to Michael Lett, CEO and founder of Invest USA, and law enforcement veteran Michael Letts explains why the president's son may have a gigantic problem with his new strategy. Now, so by this point, you're pretty familiar with the study, a story that is, surrounding the laptop of President Biden's son, Hunter, how stories surrounding certain emails have been making the rounds. But today, Hunter decided to take matters into his own hands for better and for worse. His lawyers have proceeded to call upon federal and state prosecutors to open criminal investigations into certain subjects surrounding his laptop, including former Trump allies, Rudy Giuliani and Steve Bannon, as well as computer repair shop owner John McIsaac. Now, part of this strategy also involves sending cease and desist letters to those who may have gotten their hands on the laptop's contents. However, there's one gaping problem with this strategy. In one fell swoop, Hunter Biden, with his legal actions, just confirmed that the laptop is indeed his. And this could serve as a gigantic boon for the Republican investigation currently going on with Hunter and other members of the Biden family. But how much of a true legal implication is this, and will Biden's proposed legal actions have any effect? Well, joining us now to discuss this further is Michael Letts, law enforcement veteran with over 30 years of experience under his belt. Michael, by the way, is founder, CEO, and president of Invest USA, an organization that provides bulletproof vests to police officers through partnerships with sponsorships and charitable groups. And his expertise, of course, will prove useful in this matter. Welcome back, Michael. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Chuck. It's always a privilege to be with you. I have the greatest time on your show, so I wish you could extend it for hours.
All right. So let me ask you, is Hunter Biden getting a little bit too aggressive for his own good when it comes to trying to press legal action against Trump's allies and the computer store owner, too?
Yes, there's no question. I think what it clearly demonstrates is it's not just Hunter. It shows the arrogance of a family that has been corrupt for decades and has enriched themselves off of the taxpayers and the security of the American people. Anyone that can think that they can cry to daddy because he happens to be the president to try to get the Department of Justice to intimidate those who exercise their First Amendment right of freedom of speech to discuss, to talk about public facts is just absolutely insane, Chuck. Here's the issue that we have. And here's so that your listeners very clearly understand what's going on. Hunter takes his computer, drops it off, and then after he gets to dropping off his computer, he decides he either forgets about it, he's not going to pay for the repairs that are necessary. And so it sits for months and months and months. Now, anybody knows you take your car to an auto repair shop and drop it off and decide you're not going to pay for it or pick it up, they eventually sell it. I mean, it becomes theirs. They go through a court process, they acquire the legal right to that asset, and then they dispose of it. Same principle here. He refused to pay for it. So that computer became property of that computer store. He looked and saw what was on it. He could have just thrown it in the garbage can, but he was shocked And he had enough sense to realize this is some really disgusting and potentially threatening to national security files. I don't need to be looking at them. They need to be turned over to the authorities to decide where to go. Turn it over to the FBI, and, of course, you saw nothing happen for years. But now, to then suddenly, when he realizes that, he's facing some really big issues, he's going to even throw his daddy under the bus and try to say, look, y'all get the federal agencies to go intimidate everybody that's talking about me and talking about my computer. They don't have a right to talk about my stuff. I never gave them the right to look at it. Totally not understanding the law. You gave up that right when you refused to pay your bill. It just amazes me, Chuck, the insanity and stupidity of some people. And they're running the country right now.
You know what? And I think Biden yesterday was making statements about it's definitely not his laptop. And then today, yes, it is my laptop.
That's correct.
It's not time to have a father-son battle if you're on their side. With this action, okay, Biden confirms that the laptop is indeed his. How will this serve the Republican committee that's currently looking into these actions?
Well, you now get past the issue about credibility. We know that you now have a statement from the defendant that the information that you're looking at is his. So now it's just a matter of really diving in, which they already are doing now. What is that information, and how big of an issue does it have for national security? And the problem is, it's not just national security, Chuck. It's called treason. When I sell our greatest secrets and military assets to enemy combatants, I have sold this country, and I need to be held accountable for it. That's where this is headed. And that's where it will help the Republicans get past the issue. Now, we're not going to debate any longer about the validity of the information. Now we're going to talk about what is that information and what are the consequences of it. And that's crucial to bringing this to a closure.
Now, Biden lawyers noted that this was a, quote, failed, dirty political trick that was meant to make Biden look bad over unlawfully accessed and manipulated data. But isn't this a dirty political trick in return in an effort to take the heat off Biden? And for that matter, let me ask you this. Do you think Biden thought this through before going through with his accusations? Maybe he might be still putting a little bit of smoke in his lungs. Who knows?
Oh, no question. You have to look at a number of things that have happened, Chuck. We now discover that, you know, Joe Biden, the president, is just taking out a personal loan for $250,000 on his beach house. Which we assume will be used to assist his son and his legal defenses. We have to look at the issue that's transpired in the last 24 hours about the Chinese surveillance balloons across that have infringed on American sovereignty and American airspace. And they are looking for any and every way to divert the American attention. They're trying to send messages. Hey, we're still sitting up here. If you want to push this thing too hard, we can get us into a war. And so you probably ought to leave us alone. I'm telling you what, the American people are disgusted with this administration. They're disgusted with treason. They're disgusted with dishonesty and deception. And we're not going to sit back any longer and allow ourselves to be intimidated or pushed around into not getting the facts. We're going to discover what happened, and people will need to be held accountable. And we're going to hold our Congress, Republican Congress in the House, to make sure they do their job and get to the facts. If they won't get to the facts, you remember, Chuck, you and I have already discussed this, there's a military tribunal waiting to be called.
Yeah. And when you talk about us sitting back and, you know, not taking any action for a while, do you believe something should have been done sooner in relation to what happened with Biden's laptop, or is this
good? This should have been done immediately. I mean, let's put this in, so that people understand, why am I on your show talking about this? Because you remember, INVEST's primary objective is to take care of our law enforcement. You can't take care of a law enforcement system that has a two-tier justice system that people don't respect because they don't respect the people. So that's why we're trying to solve this problem. If this would have been you, Chuck, and that had been your computer, probably the day after we turned it over to the FBI, you'd have been in cuffs, okay? And for them to sit on it for years is just without excuse. I mean, there's no plausible explanation that can be given to the American public other than the fact that people are using, this administration is using its political power to weaponize and to politicize the Department of Justice. They're allowing them to do that, and they all need to be held accountable for the distrust they have given to the American people.
Well, you know, President Biden seems to be awful quiet surrounding this matter. What do you think his take on all of this will be? Could he possibly try to impede the Republican investigation for the sake of his son? You know, because we're worried now about the Department of Justice and the FBI. Is there any way that he might be able to hold up this process?
I think he's already done that because you saw the Department of Justice issue the directive that they were not cooperate, I repeat, not cooperate with the House of Representatives, that they are taking the umbrella that is an active investigation ongoing, and they were not sharing information to its conclusion. The problem with that statement, Chuck, is when I tell you there's an active investigation on, I don't have to tell you how long that active investigation is going to take. And the track record they have had by being politicized and weaponized, is they drag these things on for years and years and years. People can't even remember what happened anymore. And then suddenly they come up with a quick, oh, this is what we found, put it on the back page of the last page of the newspaper and move on. Well, you can't allow that to happen again.
Yeah, and, you know, you think about all of the times that, you know, that we have to live with this double standard, Michael, you know, with Hillary, just about everybody else, you know, when it comes to the Democrats, they seem to get away with it. So to me, I think that's one of the biggest concerns. Somehow everything's going to be wonderful and we're just going to stop this and we're too busy doing, and this is just a small detail or whatever. You know, it always seems like Democrats seem to get away with about 90% of the stuff they do that we don't, being, you know, independent or Republicans. So it's going to be very interesting.
Democrats have a track record of doing this, and what the sad part is they have a track record of being unchallenged. And, hey, word, Paul, I'm talking about we, the American people, we have gotten sometimes so busy that we say, hey, y'all run the country, and we'll just make sure we pay the bills. It can't work that way. I've said all along, ever since I've been on your show, Chuck, that if you're going to be a citizen of this country, you have to be engaged. If it doesn't mean enough for you to be engaged to protect and defend and keep our liberties, go find another country to live in. There's plenty of other people that would love to have you. We don't need you here.
Yeah. Go find the Constitution of the United States. You can even get a little bitty envelope that'll fit in your pocket. And you can read it.
Exactly.
Just about out of time here. I know that you're doing a great job, your organization. You're providing all these bulletproof vests for the police officers through various charitable groups and sponsors. Tell us more about why we can get involved in this and support the fellow officers, which is so, so important right now.
Well, if they will go to our website, INVESTUSA.org, they can donate, they can contribute, there's a list of things they can do. Folks, never before have our first responders needed your assistance more than they do now. They're under tremendous pressure. They're bad-mouthed, they're trying to be villainized, and yet they're simply the thin blue line standing between us and tyranny. And please, respect that, honor that, and do what you can to make sure you stand shoulder to shoulder with the American people.
And one other thing, you're also involved now with Twitter, right? Where
That's
can we
correct.
Get involved in that?
Binvest, USA _org. And that is our Twitter account, and there's plenty to be said. And Chuck, there's enough to be said about every 15 minutes, so make sure you don't miss it.
As the world turns, Michael. Hey, thank you very much, sir. Look forward to our next visit. Michael Letts, InvestUSA.org. Judd Garrett coming up next.
Experiencing pain, back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain from a sports injury? If so, Schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at rootschris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Think of the many sacrifices it took to establish and to preserve liberty in the United States. Think of the many generations that went before us that spilled blood to preserve that liberty, our freedoms. And look at how long it took, not very long, for us to lose many of those liberties. One flu season, together with lockdowns galore, and so many of those liberties just slipping away. In the United States today, we see an American government that is weakening abroad, even as it oppresses its people at home. We discuss this and so much more on our program, The Trumpet Daily. We're live weekday mornings at 11 a.m. Central Time in the United States. You can listen at CRN Digital Radio, Channel 3, or watch the live video stream at our website, thetrumpet.com.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here, and let me tell you about my guest, the one and only Mr. Judd Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T. He is a former NFL player, coach, and executive. He is also a frequent contributor to the website Real Clear Politics. He's recently published his first novel, Know When. Judd's blog is objectivityistheobjective.com. And I always mention that Judd was a football player. He was with the Dallas Cowboys when they won the championship. So there you go. Hey, Judd, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Okay. I always think about when I speak with you, you know, the football finally rolling down towards the end. And, you know, a lot of people upset, a lot of people real happy. And we may talk about it a little bit later on here. Want to discuss your latest here. Practical morality. And Judd writes, for years, those of us who have adamantly opposed government-run health care have been told that we should look at Canada and Great Britain for examples of well-run systems that provide efficient and affordable health care for all the citizens. True or false? Should we, Judd?
Well, that's what we've been told, but if you really look at those two systems, you can see that they're really failing their citizens. They lure them in, they say that this is all free coverage, but they overtax them and they underdeliver the health care.
Underdeliver the health care. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah. So their systems should be the model for American health care systems, according to them, right? Those who feared the government-run health care believed that they would inevitably lead to rationing of care, death panels, board of bureaucrats decide who gets to care and who doesn't. When I read that one sentence there, I was thinking about when it was COVID here in the United States, you know, they just, everybody had to get the health care that they were pushing out, except, I think, certain elected officials. I just have that sneaky suspicion.
Yeah, that's usually the way it is. They mandate things on the citizens, and then they exempt themselves from the mandates they apply to everybody else.
And you say the anti-state health care contingent have been accused of wanting people to die in the streets because they could not afford the health care they needed. And government run everything, whether it's health care, retirement system, schools, always leads to the rationing, inefficiency, corruption, waste of whatever they're running. Now, are we still talking about Canada and Great Britain whenever we talk about that, or are we touching on the United States too?
Well, I mean, initially Canada and Great Britain, but whenever our government tries to take over things and run things, let's say our public school system or Social Security, you get all those things that are warned, you know, rationing, inefficiency, corruption, and waste. It's embedded into our public school systems. There's a lot of inefficiencies in our Social Security system. So when the government runs anything, you're going to get a lot of those bad things.
Yeah. And listener, here's the, I guess you call the kicker in this whole thing. Judd writes, so it came as no surprise to me when it was reported in September of 2022 that a 22-year-old Canadian woman, Amelia Champagne, I think that's the last name, Champagne or Campong, decided to commit suicide under the Canadian program MAID, M-A-I-D. Doesn't that sound nice? But it stands for Medical Assistance in Dying, which became law back in 2016, I guess, in Canada. And so she had a right to do it, right?
Yeah, I mean, they gave her the right to do it. Basically, it's assisted suicide that's performed by doctors, and became law in 2016. And this young woman is just an example. There's plenty of examples throughout Canada of people. We're not talking about, you know, a very elderly person who has Alzheimer's, who's, you know, maybe a month away from dying. We're talking about there's a lot of young 20, 30-year-olds who aren't getting the health care they need through the Canadian system, and they're deciding to get involved with this MAID program and commit suicide as opposed to continually to live under the Canadian system.
Wow, 22 years of age. My goodness. All right, more on this story from Judd Garrett. And remember that website, all right, because Judd's articles are right up there, AAA+, okay? Objectivity is the objective.com. Objectivity is the objective.com.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Hugh Jackman plays a high-powered businessman who's thrilled with his new baby and new wife, played by Vanessa Kirby, when his first spouse, Laura Dern, asks him to take in their emotionally scarred teenage son in the searing and unforgettable The Son, now playing in theaters.
What's going on?
I don't know what's happening to me.
You came to tell me what a good dad you are? What do you want? Applause?
That's my little boy. I can't give up on him.
Based on a stage play by director co-writer Florian Zeller, this is part of a trilogy that includes The Father, which won an Oscar for Anthony Hopkins, who makes a brief appearance here. In this film, all of the acting is award-worthy. All the characters, despite their conflicts, are richly and sympathetically portrayed in a superb film that captures both the rewards and heartbreak of family life. It's rated PG-13, 4 stars for The Son, one of the best films of 2023 so far.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit KaanapaliResort.com. That's KaanapaliResort.com.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet. Fresh asparagus. Hollandaise on the side. A filet. Medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair. Close your eyes and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef. Broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here with the one and only Judd Garrett, former NFL player, and he is a frequent contributor to the website Real Clear Politics and a frequent guest here on Fridays, and boy, I appreciate it each and every time. And also, don't forget his novel, No Wind. It is fictional, all right, and it's available at Amazon.com, No Wind. You know, it's amazing how clever people are, and especially when they're doing something that I don't think the majority of the people agree with, you know, and they come up, and this program is called MADE. Doesn't that sound so good, you know, if they come in and clean up the house for you and take care of you and all this? But this MADE, M-A-I-D, stands for Medical Assistance in Dying. And we're talking about this 22-year-old Canadian woman, Amelia Champagne. Did I get her last name right? Champagne?
Yeah, I think that's right.
You know, and here it is, 22 years of age, and doesn't want to hang around and see if, you know, things can improve for the rest 50 or 60 years of her life, as Judd writes. But here's a shocker for you, listener. Judd, last year, how many people were euthanized in Canada through this MADE program? This would be last year. How many? 40, 50, 60? Could it be 60? How many?
It was about 10,000 people were euthanized in Canada, and that's 1,000 increase from the time the program started in 2016. So, you know, they institute this program, and then you'll see later on in the article how the state encourages this. They use propaganda to say that this is a good thing, and then you know, you get young people like Amelia who decide to do it when she really wasn't in a situation where this was probably her best option.
Another interesting thing is you wonder, you know, and I'm sure, you know, the listener would be wondering too, what is the status for being accepted for this euthanization? Because you talk about this 54-year-old Canadian man, Amir Farsoud. He applied for MAID. And the reason, Judd, it is your story. I give you the profound privilege of telling them why in the world this 54-year-old Canadian man decided he needed to be euthanized.
Yeah, he said he ended up being homeless. He got thrown out of his home, and he had some medical issues he was dealing with, like persistent back pain, and he decided to apply for this program. You know, he said, "I don't want to die, but I don't want to be homeless more than I don't want to die." Huh. He said, "Dying isn't my first choice." And then I think you brought up a great question earlier. What are the criteria? If you circle back to the 22-year-old woman, uh-huh. You know, she was suffering from the symptoms or the post-treatment symptoms of Lyme disease, which can be persistent for about a year. And
yeah.
It's painful. I could maybe possibly understand her wanting to do it because she's dealing with a lot of pain. But the medical professional should be able to say, hey, you know, this pain's probably going to subside in about a year, and then you're going to have 50, 60 years of life to live. So maybe we're not going to approve you for this because it doesn't apply to you. But they approved her and allowed her to kill herself. And this man who's basically deciding to get involved in this assisted suicide program because he found himself homeless, not because of the medical issues, they're going to approve him as well. So the criteria is not very high to be able to, when you apply for this program.
Boy, and you wonder, you know, if when you go in to their offices, their medical offices, to the assisted suicide, I wonder how many Bibles they have laying around that you can read before you actually sign the papers or whatever you do. Zero?
Yeah, there's probably zero. I mean, you know, Canada, you know, obviously does not, you know, they don't align themselves with a specific religion. So there's definitely no Bibles around, no type of spiritual, you know, consultation or teaching of these people before they make this decision. It's strictly a pragmatic, practical decision that they that they think they're.
So this 54-year-old Canadian man, Amir, and I'm going to go out on a limb here because you say the government-run health care. He had no choice, he said, because the government-run health care and socialized political system in Canada is failing him, so he chose death. Do you think people in the United States might be getting a little fed up with how the government's being run also? And I know for a fact, all right, that in the United States that you can also have this assisted suicide, because I had a neighbor, he's no longer here now, but he had a brother in Oklahoma, I think it was, and the father owned the ranch, and he convinced his father to go ahead, and I think it was Oregon or Washington, you might know, Judd, but they had it there, I think it was Oregon, and he went there and got the assisted suicide. And the guy I knew was so upset because he's thinking, you know, it was a brother trying to get the ranch. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there are a few states that have it, but I think you have to, you know, jump through a few more hoops in America than you do up in Canada. And I think you hit the point right on the head is that, you know, there's other people involved in these people's lives that have ulterior motives and want them to die, like you said, because you know, the son wants to get the ranch, and so he's going to encourage this because he wants to take over the ranch a lot sooner. So it's really, really a dangerous road to go down when you talk about, you know, assisted suicide and killing people.
Yeah, and you've got another case here, October 2022. This is a 37-year-old woman, Jennifer Hatch. and she decided to commit suicide. And in an interview in June, she said, I feel like I'm falling through the cracks, so I'm not able to access health care, and then I'm able to access death care, and that's what led me to look into the medical assistance and dying. You know, it seems like in Canada it's very easy to find the proper words to get this done, you know, and it doesn't take any really fancy words either, does it?
No, and the interesting thing is if you listen to all these people, it's not like they're saying necessarily, I'm living in so much pain. They're really saying, I can't get the health care I need from our system. And that's the system. The Canadian system is the one that the people on the left in America always hold up as being the example. But really, it shouldn't be the example, because in America, you get the health care you need. You have to pay for it, but you're not going to be denied health care regardless of how much money you have in America. And up in Canada, here's three examples of people who aren't getting the health care they need through the government-run program, and now they're deciding to commit suicide because of it.
And that was part of Jennifer Hatch whenever she said that she couldn't get the proper medical care that she needed. You say we have all seen the influence that state has over many people in every country, taking everything the government tells them as an absolute, irrefutable truth. It's like you give it to sheep to take a vaccine that didn't really work, you know. I don't know. I think before they have this system, you know, before they can have it done, it seems like they should have another qualification that maybe, you know, you see a psychiatrist before you get the final word that it can be done. I don't know if that's part of this thing or not.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. There needs to be, like I said, there needs to be some hoops they got to jump through, some hurdles they got to pass. So it's not just done on a whim. I'm in a lot of pain, so I just want to check out. You know, there needs to be an assessment, both medically and, like you said, psychologically, before they're allowed to have this done.
Let's see if I have this other one here. Let's see. Who needs the death panels when you're convinced young people that suicide is beautiful and brave? And then you write, we have all seen the influence that state has over many people in every country, taking everything the government tells them as the absolute, irrefutable truth. And hundreds of millions of people in the country line up like sheep to take a vaccine that didn't really work. And I'm so glad, Judd, that the true facts are coming out in these vaccines. And I think it's like, I don't know if you ever have any problem with the stuff you write where they try to ban you from writing what you're writing. But, you know, when you're on the air and you have a blog and things like that, I have to put up with it constantly, and especially when it comes to COVID. Have you run into any of that thing where they're just not going to publish what you're writing?
Yeah, there's some times when, you know, I just feel like some of my pieces don't get disseminated out to all the people that want to read them. So I feel like I'm being either blocked or shadow banned to a certain degree.
Yeah. Shadow banned. Yeah, I've been getting that lately too, because a lot of guests I have will send me what they want to talk about, and I don't get it, and then they're telling me they've been shadow banned on that, and they're, you know, you have to find ways to get around it. So now you say there is a similar push for this medical assisted suicide in the United Kingdom. We did mention that it's available in the United States, but you really don't hear too much headlines about it in the United States. But here we go with the United Kingdom, and a study concluded that assisted suicide could result in $84 million in reduced costs per year for the United Kingdom government to run the healthcare system. Boy, I hope Biden doesn't read this article. Man.
Well, that's the motivation for passing all these bills, uh-huh. is when you have a state-run healthcare system, they don't want to have to be able to treat everybody because it's going to be too costly and they're going to be cost overruns. They're going to be in debt. So the more of these sick people that they can just ship off to this assisted suicide program, the more cost effective that is for the whole program. So that's the overriding danger with government-run healthcare, because now you'll have government bureaucrats making healthcare decisions for the citizens, and one of those decisions is, well, why don't you just go kill yourself? Instead of living the next 5 years, why don't you just go kill yourself? It's not best for the patient or their family. It's best for the government-run system. So that's why Canada is looking at it right now, or the UK is looking at it right now, because it's going to save them a lot of money in their healthcare system.
Ah, yeah, yeah. Follow the money trail, huh? Yeah. You know, and the other thing is that here in the United States, maybe a couple of months ago or a month and a half ago, I remember how the Democrats and the upper echelon, and I'm not too sure if it was coming directly from Biden's lips or whoever was talking for him, talking about, for example, the rosary, okay, was a symbol of like almost like voodoo. They were describing, you know, of Catholics carrying the rosary, and it was terrible. And about this whole thing about, you know, religion, I don't think we've ever seen such a fight over religion in the United States, and, you know, not in 50, 60, 70 years. And in your article, you say, when you're talking about this assisted suicide, this is where you end up when you embrace a political system that moves society away from God and the state replaces God. Very well said. And I believe that you've got to not believe in God to ever have this procedure done anywhere in the world.
Exactly. You know, I hear atheists say all the time that I don't need God to be a moral person, mm-hmm. and that's true. But what happens is their morality is not the morality that you and I have, that there's inherent value to human life and things like that. Their morality becomes what I call a practical morality. It's a pragmatism. There's no necessarily inherent value. So the way that these people look at it is, oh, if we can kill this person and save $20,000, which will treat two other people, then that's the practical thing to do. So we'll just allow this person to commit suicide. It's a really warped morality that isn't grounded in anything other than, you know, just it's like a bunch of bean counters, you know, at some big corporation making decisions based on what's most practical for the company.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Listener, I suggest, seriously, that you go to Judd Garrett's website, objectivityistheobjective.com. Check out this article. Print it up. Give it to some people you know that maybe, you know, they're in wheelchairs or something like that or whatever, you know. But if you think they're right on that edge, print it up. Let them read it. Practical morality. And you know, there was another article that Judd wrote, and it was called Legalized Theft. You can also read that one. I think it was the one before this one. And that is all about, you know, California, perhaps one of the only states that didn't have any thing to do with slavery. It's now talking about all their reparations are going to be giving to Californians. It is amazing about the things that happen. But sometimes good things happen, and when we come back, Judd may be here next Friday, but I'm going to kind of get here early with him, and we'll talk about the Super Bowl that's going to be taking place next Sunday, and because he's an expert on football, in my opinion, and we'll talk about the game that's coming up in Glendale, Arizona, formerly known as Phoenix, Arizona. Yes, amazing how they change the names, you know. We'll be right back.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call myflightsearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call myflightsearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call myflightsearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call myflightsearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
Let's talk about your credit cards. When you first start using them, it's a slow drip. You make charges, then more charges, then bills come, and they keep coming. When you open your statements, the floodgates come pouring in. You realize you have more credit card debt than you can afford, and you're barely making the minimum payments. Wouldn't it be nice to make one affordable payment and have all your credit card bills covered? Make this free call and learn our responsible way to get your credit card bills paid and under control.
Sponsored by Consumer Education Services, a nonprofit organization.
800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. 800-876-3643. That's 800-876-3643.
CESI is not a loan company. The establishment of a debt management plan may adversely affect your credit rating. Non-payment of debt may lead creditors to increase finance and other charges to undertake collection activity, including liquidation.
Attention, real estate investors. Do you need cash immediately? If you own one or multiple rental properties, you can use your equity to get cash out fast. The best part is we don't need tax returns or even a good credit score. At America's Loan Source, we are not a bank and we don't have bank rules. We make the decisions to loan you money, and there's no limit how much we can give you. Some clients have gotten as much as $500,000 or more within days. Use the money any way you want. If you own one rental property or 100, and COVID has left you in a cash crunch, we can help you turn your equity into fast cash. Call now for details and close in as little as 10 days and get the cash you need. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. 800-353-1760. That's 800-353-1760.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with my guest Judd Garrett. And by the way, if you're kind of new to this program, let me tell you something about Mr. Garrett, okay, that as we get ready to talk about the Super Bowl, he was, well, after 6 years as a professional football player, including with the 1993 Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys, Judd then began a 12-year coaching career. He was with the Saints, the Dolphins, the Rams, and the Cowboys. He served another 12 years as a personal executive with the Cowboys, all right? And I'll remind you again, his novel is No Wind, available at Amazon.com. But you see, the football Super Bowl is coming up real quick here. And I'm going to kind of ask him what he thinks about it, because do you already have a pick, Judd, by any chance, who you think's going to win it?
Well, I'm kind of leaning towards Philadelphia. I mean, it was a shame on Sunday that the 49ers lost both their quarterbacks. I thought they had a legitimate chance of knocking the Eagles off, but you know, the Eagles won, and I think they're just a more complete team than the Chiefs are. The Chiefs got a great quarterback and a great tight end, but I think every other phase of the team, the Eagles have a better offensive line, they got a better defense, they got a better running game. So I think overall the Eagles probably have an edge in this Super Bowl.
And, you know, I went and did a little looking, you know, at my regular screen finder, so to speak, and it's funny because they're really leaning toward the Chiefs. And they're talking about because Patrick Holmes, you know, he was injured when he was playing, and yet they did so good, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I don't know. I kind of go with you, and I think that San Francisco probably would have had a very good chance if they hadn't had the quarterback problem, which they had all year long, you know.
They were able to overcome the quarterback issues throughout the year, but just not in this one game.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. It says Patrick Holmes, he has 1.5 passing touchdowns, whatever that means. He goes over 1.5. Is that a term they use?
I don't
quite get it because it's all over the place. Super Bowl 57 props, Patrick Holmes over 1.5 TDs. You'd think it'd be 1,500 or 1,500. I don't quite understand why they're using that 1.5.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that stat. I mean, there's no question that I think Mahomes and Travis Kelce are probably the two best players on the field who are with the Chiefs. But I think after that, you know, the Eagles are just better across the board.
Well, so. We know for a fact that Tom Brady's not going to the Raiders. Okay, that was a little rumor that was going on for a while.
Yeah.
And they still say, oh, he's going to be announcing part of the Super Bowl. And for some reason, I kind of have a feeling he might end up in the announcer's booth. For some reason or the other, he may just pop in there. I don't know. Yeah, do you think it was a good idea for him to retire?
Well, I mean, he had nothing really else to prove. I mean, 7 Super Bowls, he had all those MVPs, most yards ever thrown, most touchdowns. I mean, he's accomplished everything he needed to accomplish. And, you know, I think it's good that he's able to get out of the game after playing 22 years and still be relatively healthy. You know, a lot of guys leave the game, their bodies are destroyed, and I think he's relatively healthy. So,
as we run out of time here, is it possible the Dallas Cowboys scared him to death and that's why he resigned?
Well, they did a good job against him that last game. So
that's true, yeah. And you always do a good job, no matter if you're talking sports, politics, or whatever. Judd Garrett, thank you very much. Look forward to our next visit.
Thank you.
Remember, listener, the website, Objectivity is the Objective. Objectivity is the Objective.com. Selwyn Duke, coming up next.
Are you tired of your favorite talk show sounding like...
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here. We just happen to be live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Hey, when next we meet, let me tell you, Robert Romano, yes, Robert Romano, Vice President of Public Policy for Americans for Limited Government, is going to be here. We're going to be talking about all involved on sending more tanks to the Ukraine, a very in-depth report. And then, of course, Frank Savato, he's host of the Underground USA podcast, will have all of his latest. Right now, I want to go to the one and only Mr. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American. And Selwyn has also contributed to the college textbooks published by Gale Synage Learning. He has appeared on many, many television shows, frequent guest on radio. His website is Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here comes the Duke. Sometimes it says when I do the Selwyn, they say, how much? Hello, how are you, Selwyn?
What am I selling? Boy Scout cookies, Chuck. There you go. How am I doing? Well, it's 22 degrees here right now, and unfortunately, Chuck, that's Fahrenheit and not Celsius, so you get the picture. How are you?
So I got to ask you, are you on a different system, or are you covered with snow? Because you're getting a little, it's almost like, you know, you're in a car on a bumpy road.
Really? No, it's the same system. That's odd.
Oh,
huh.
Right. That's okay.
I hope it's satisfactory.
Perfect. You know, compared to the problems I've had, oh, no, it's great. No, we'll have no problem whatsoever.
Okay.
Just, I don't know, it's sound like somebody was giving you a back rub. You can tell me if you want to. But
that would be nice, actually. It might improve my performance, or I might go to sleep, actually, Chuck.
Yeah,
so be careful about that.
That's what would happen to me, for sure, for sure. Wow. Okay, well, listen, you have two that came out on February 2nd. That was yesterday. And I think I'm going to talk about the medical profession professional first. Do you want to do that one there?
Sure, absolutely. That sounds
We always good. Like to get it out when we have a chance to get it out, and it ain't been banned. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Is that the word, banned? Hasn't been banned? No, there's another word.
Not yet, but they'll get around to it because they're trying to eliminate everything else. You know how it goes with the wokesters.
Well, if you wonder why we mention the wokesters are being banned, listener, the title, you see, that usually is all it takes. Medical Professional Scientific Community must, that's all capital letters, must issue mea culpa on its deadly COVID policies. Coming out more and more every day, you're finding out how we were right so long ago. Yes, makes you feel good in a way, doesn't it, but not necessarily.
Yeah, exactly. It's sort of bittersweet, I guess, Chuck. And, you know, what's interesting is that more and more we see the dam of deception relating to COVID might be breaking, or at least now it's got some rather pronounced leaks. And this is a good example. So this person wrote at Newsweek, which gave him some good exposure, and he's a seventh-year medical student and researcher named Kevin Bass. He's working towards his MD and PhD. Obviously an intelligent man. So anyway, here's what he said. He said that he once supported all the COVID-19 so-called mitigation efforts, from lockdowns to, quote, vaccines to boosters. And he really believed, Chuck, that the authorities had our best interests at heart when they were instituting all those COVID restrictions. But now he says, I was wrong. And then he says, quote, we in the scientific community were wrong, and it cost lives. So he wrote at Newsweek Monday, and he really, really, I have to say, gave the scientific community a dressing down. It was something else, and obviously I can't relate the whole thing to. Yeah, go ahead.
And I gotta ask you, because, okay, this happened Monday, and before Monday, I think it was, didn't they have the Project Veritas thing that broke? Was that before he wrote this article? And I'm wondering if it had anything to do with him finally saying, hey, you know, I've been vilified, and I'm going to join the list here. I'm just curious. You don't happen to know if it had anything to do with it, right?
No, I don't, but
okay.
You never know.
Right.
Yeah, that Project Veritas video was something. You saw that Pfizer executive, right,
yeah,
who was a real character, to say the least, a little light in the loafers.
Anyway, he was going to get a hot date. You know that?
Yeah.
Yeah, with a guy that was...
So anyway, he was revealing that Pfizer actually may be engaging in what is essentially gain-of-function research with respect to the coronavirus, because they want to get a head start on creating new vaccines geared towards new strains of the virus. And he said it was really gain-of-function, but that's what he was describing. And then at the end, when he found out he was busted, when Project Veritas head James O'Keefe approached him, he actually attacked O'Keefe in a way. He grabbed one of his electronic devices. I mean, it was really a funny scene that he became so unhinged. But, yeah, I'm getting off topic.
Well,
so,
no,
anyway,
I just wondered
if
this had anything to do with it. So so we'll get back to him, because this guy's really on top of it, too. So go ahead.
Yeah, I was actually surprised that he was so critical of the medical community, this fellow Bass, and I can't read everything he said, obviously, but I'll read part of it because it really is very good and pretty comprehensive. He writes, I can see now that the scientific community, from the CDC to the WHO to the FDA and their representatives, repeatedly overstated the evidence and misled the public about its own views and policies, including on natural versus artificial immunity, school closures and disease transmission, aerosol spread, mask mandates, and vaccine effectiveness and safety, especially among the young. All of these were scientific mistakes at the time, not in hindsight. Now, I'll take a pit stop. Very important to understand. He's recognizing what you and I, Chuck, and others have been saying. We knew all along what the facts were, by and large. The evidence was there. You just had to open your eyes and look at it. But the mainstream media and the establishment, they would not do that. That was the problem. Okay, I'll continue. Bass writes, amazingly, some of these obfuscations continue to the present day. But perhaps more important than any individual error was how inherently flawed the overall approach of the scientific community was and continues to be. We excluded important parts of the population from policy development and castigated critics, which meant that we deployed a monolithic response across an exceptionally diverse nation, forged a society more fractured than ever, and exacerbated long-standing health and economic disparities, unquote. So he's absolutely correct there. It's a great mea culpa. He should go a little further, I think. But anyway, he also mentioned, Chuck, that they, quote, created policy based on our preferences, then justified it using data. And then we portrayed those opposing our efforts as misguided, ignorant, selfish, and evil, he writes. And this is interesting. He also said, quote, we made science a team sport, and in so doing, we made it no longer science, unquote, and this inspired resistance. And here's the thing. I point out in my article, Chuck, that this is something we always have to worry about, because you have to remember, it doesn't matter what profession you're talking about, this is always a threat, this team sport phenomenon. And it reminds me of something Thomas Jefferson said about judges. You could say it about scientists, too. And that is, scientists are as honest as other men and not more so. They have with others the same passions for party, for power, and the privilege of their core. And, you know, the whole thing, Chuck, is that you have to remember, everyone is a human being. Everyone has ideological passions and opinions. Everyone has ego. Everyone or many people may have a desire for fame. In scientists' case, a desire to get government grants. There are so many things that can corrupt the system. And right now, I'm just talking about things inherent in human nature, understand. I'm not saying right now we're especially flawed in this regard, although we've gotten worse. This is just something we always have to look out for. And that's why scientists, as I say in my article, they should be accorded dignity, but not deification at all. Okay, so then Bass said something, Chuck, that was very, very significant, I thought. He was criticizing himself and his fellows, and he mentioned emotional response and their ingrained partisanship, which, quote, prevented us from seeing the full impact of our actions on the people we're supposed to serve. True. And then he mentioned this led to further impoverishment of the poor, damage to the middle class and others. And meanwhile, all the connected pseudo-elites, what happened with them? They got richer and richer, right? I mean, they shut down businesses during COVID, small businesses, but the big ones like Amazon, they could operate, right? Well, I don't think that was something that was innocuous. I think it's because the Democrats were getting money from those interests. But the emotional response comment, I thought, was very, very significant because, you know, I talk about emotionalism a lot, Chuck. You and I discuss it. I talk about how it relates to moral relativism, that when you descend into relativism and you don't believe in truth and you don't have the truth to use as your yardstick for making moral decisions, what do you have left? The most compelling yardstick you have left is emotion. And these emotional responses are really the bane of man. People make emotion-based decisions all too often. And here I think of Thomas Sowell, great man. He said, it doesn't matter how smart you are if you don't think. And the bottom line is we don't truly think, Chuck, thoroughly when emotion clouds our reason. And unfortunately, this is another problem inherent in humanity. People just have a lot of trouble in general distinguishing between what ideas are the result of intellectual analysis and which ones are just the result of knee-jerk emotional responses. I've seen people confuse that over and over and over again. And I actually call, Chuck, the degree to which we avoid having emotion cloud our judgment functional intelligence. That's what I call it. Because, you know, someone can be very intelligent, but if he lets emotion cloud his judgment a good percentage of the time, he's not going to act very smart, will he?
No.
He's not going to be like Chuck Wilder, who operates like Mr. Spock.
Yeah, thank you. And I think sometimes this, you know, where they truly think is they're thinking, how much money am I going to make off of this decision that I've made? You know, I think that really played such an important part in this whole COVID thing. So money.
Yeah.
And
there's no
power.
Doubt about it.
Would it be power first or money, Selwyn, in your opinion? Do you think they love the power or they love the money? Or
I think it's both. And yeah. It's very smart of you to mention that because people – see, everyone – I've said this before in your show, but everyone likes to define the world in a simple way because we want to have a simple way of understanding things. Everything is about money or everything is about this or everything is a one-world government conspiracy. In reality, there can be multiple motivations driving a phenomenon, and you can see multiple motivations, Chuck, within the same person. Mm-hmm. Some can be noble, some ignoble. I mean, we do what we do, right? And maybe part of it is that we really want to help people. Maybe part of it is ego. But yeah, with this politicians, there's no doubt about it. Power is a driving force. Money is a driving force. And harking back to what you just said, you know, there's a saying, it's very hard to get a man to understand something when his income depends on his not understanding it. It absolutely is true.
Yeah.
So anyway,
got about
you know,
40 seconds before the break. Because yeah. I know, boy, this Selwyn Dukes, he is such a pro because he does so many shows that he can smell those breaks. He may be in another country,
right.
And he smells those breaks coming up. And right now, he knows we got 15 seconds. See, it's just—it is amazing how he does that. And me, I don't know how to, you know, ad lib or carry anything on that would actually take us into the break. You know, where I would say like, "Well, we're going to be back in just a moment with a world famous Selwyn Duke and more on this excellent article." Medical profession, scientific community must end mea culpa on its deadly COVID policies. And I'll add one more word to that title. Finally. You said it twice. I only added it once, though. Okay. Selwyn Duke, and the website is Selwyn, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. 800-846-2153. That's 800-846-2153.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
Hi, everybody. Michael Horn from CRNDigitalTalk.com. You know, we provide you with the best in talk radio. 8 channels of talk radio, from radio on the left to radio on the right. Sports talk, business talk, religious talk, Spanish talk. You name it, we've got talk radio for you. All at CRNTalk.com. Well, now we bring you video as well as audio. That's right. Watch your favorite shows like the Fred Dreyer program, What's Cooking Today, What's Cooking on Wine, The Lounge, Richard Nixon Live, and so many other shows on video right at our website, crntalk.com. You can also watch us on Roku. Just search CRN Talk and you can watch us on any Roku TV anywhere in the world. Also on Facebook Live. Just go to facebook.com/CRN Talk. Roku, search CRN Talk. facebook.com/CRN Talk. Check us out on Tiki Live and at CRN Talk too. Video for you talk fans, all from CRN Talk.
CRN, Chuck Wilder here with the one and only Selwyn Duke, writer for the New American, SelwynDuke.com. Medical professionals, scientific community must issue a mea culpa on its deadly COVID policies. Finally, the truth is out. We're going to continue now. An excellent article by Selwyn Duke. You say, but perhaps more important than any individual error was how inherently flawed the overall approach of the scientific community was, and unfortunately, that's my word, unfortunately, and continues to be. Right, Selwyn?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, Bass, this fellow we're talking about who wrote the article, he also talks about the scorn that the establishment heaped on dissenters and how it eroded public trust. And he said that we also excluded many important voices, quote, from what should have been a national collaborative project. Now, as I pointed out in my piece, think about the hypocrisy there. As soon as COVID hit, we heard, oh, this is a novel virus. We've never seen anything like it. We don't know much about it. What are we going to do with this thing? But on the other hand, then they turned around and they said, but non-establishment opinions and debate on this thing we're ignorant of will not be tolerated. Unbelievable. I mean, So you knew right off the bat that something was very wrong. If you don't know a lot about something, obviously you invite a national debate. That's the logical thing to do. So anyway, Bass also
mentioned... You know what, and let me genuflect in here 1 second.
Yeah.
I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, they'll say, Trump, you know, this all happened under his watch. But see, the guy that put the group together was named Pence, correct? He's the one that decided, hey, Anthony, get over here. Boy, you're a great guy, and I got great things all to hear about you, and then, you know, all the other people, right? And Trump, yeah, he went along with it, but I think Pence had a lot to do with it, you know, because he picked the wrong people, and especially when it comes to Fauci.
He certainly did. And, you know, Chuck, I've said this before, too, but that, I would say, is a notable weakness that Trump has. He doesn't really seem to judge the character of underlings well. And when I make this point, I always mention one name, Amarosa Manigault Newman, who used to be on his reality show, and then he invited her into the White House, and then she betrayed him. And I just said at the time, I mean, why would you come within 10 miles of this woman? She's obviously poisonous. You had to figure that something like that was going to happen. But anyway, so...
Yeah.
You know, this fellow Bass, he mentioned how all this marginalization of dissenters sparked the rise of conspiracy theories and whatnot, which is absolutely true. And, of course, some conspiracy theories actually are conspiracy facts, such as the conspiracy between big government and big tech to silence people such as ourselves, to censor us. But, you know, there's something else. He mentioned, I pointed this out, that this all happened despite the fact that our COVID policy, Chuck, was forged by a very small fringe of pseudo-elite people in academia, government, medicine, journalism, tech, public health. And he calls these people highly educated and privileged. And I said about that, well, he's half right there. They may be privileged, but they're not educated. They're schooled. There's a big difference. And there's that famous apocryphal saying, never let your schooling interfere with your education. Very important to understand.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's someone who commented, I think, under my article at the New American, and he said, you know, I only have a high school diploma, but I figured all of this out early on. And what I thought to myself was, yeah, I believe that, because you know what? If you don't have wisdom, then you can have more degrees than a thermometer. It doesn't mean a hill of beans.
Yeah, and sometimes you can, even without a high school education, you can figure it out if you're smart enough to read Selwyn Duke articles. There, go ahead.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. But, you know,
you want me to say, one minute coming up. Go ahead.
Yeah. You've got intelligence, knowledge, and wisdom. And without the last thing, you can't really put the first two to good use. That's the whole thing. So, anyway, I'll skip ahead here. I know time is growing short. But, you know, Bass also said that if our public health officials hadn't been so arrogant, the course of the pandemic, quote unquote, in the United States might have had a very different outcome with far fewer lost lives. Absolutely. I've often pointed out that COVID expert Dr. Peter McCullough said a long time ago that if we had established a proper official treatment protocol early on, 85% of those dying of the China virus would have been saved. And, you know, the truth is, though, our whole establishment, they didn't do a proper cost-benefit analysis. They wouldn't look at the truth. Bass pointed this out as well. I'll get to
that. I'll tell you what. We've got about 2.5-3 paragraphs left, short ones. And we'll get to the rest of this story because it is so important. Selwyn Duke Medical Professional Scientific Community must issue mea culpa on its deadly COVID policies. We'll continue in just a moment. More from the Duke.
Now it's time for MedVed's Entertainment Minute.
Hugh Jackman plays a high-powered businessman who's thrilled with his new baby and new wife, played by Vanessa Kirby, when his first spouse, Laura Dern, asks him to take in their emotionally scarred teenage son in the searing and unforgettable The Son, now playing in theaters.
What's going on?
I don't know what's happening to me.
You came to tell me what a good dad you are. What do you want? Applause?
It's my little boy. I can't give up on it.
Based on a stage play by director co-writer Florian Zeller, this is part of a trilogy that includes The Father, which won an Oscar for Anthony Hopkins, who makes a brief appearance here. In this film, all of the acting is award-worthy. All the characters, despite their conflicts, are richly and sympathetically portrayed in a superb film that captures both the rewards and heartbreak of family life. It's rated PG-13, 4 stars for The Son, one of the best films of 2023. So far.
Hello, everyone. Fred Dreyer here for Balance7.com. Do you suffer from low energy, acid reflux, heartburn, joint discomfort, or a weak immune system? Well, Balance 7 is your answer. Balance 7 dilutes the acid in your body and kickstarts your immune system. That's right. 3 sips a day is all you need. In 3 days, you will feel the difference. Balance 7 is my go-to drink to energize me every day. Stop taking those caffeinated, sugar-filled energy drinks. Balance 7. Works. Remember, a sick body is an acid body. So, cut the acid in your body with Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. Use the code word FRED to get $15 off your order and free shipping. Plus a money-back guarantee. Man, you can't beat this. Call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Or go to Balance7.com. And don't forget the code word FRED.
What are you so happy about?
I'm on the pill.
Aren't you two a bit old to worry about having more kids?
Not her. Me.
You lost me there, buddy.
Steel Man pills. Things weren't always looking up, if you catch my drift. So, my doctor prescribed me a little something.
Like Viagra?
Yeah, but that's expensive, and it wasn't covered by my insurance. Steel Man pills cost me less than $3 a pill, and virtually the same effect. I just called and got over 40 pills for only $99.
I have this friend who might be looking and...
Well, if your friend wants some help, the consultation is free over the phone. No clinic. Steel Man pills sends it in the mail in a confidential package.
I'm on it. I mean, my friend will be on it.
Steel Man Pills. Going the extra mile to help men with erectile dysfunction.
800-605-1683. 800-605-1683.
800-605-1683. That's 800-605-1683.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground, Ka'anapali Beach Resort, on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I resort.com.
Duke. Selwyn Duke, he's here, and we are continuing with this excellent article that he wrote. The medical professional scientific community must issue May a couple on its deadly COVID policies, and a little bit more to go on that one, and I don't want to miss any of it, Selwyn, so please continue.
Okay. Well, before the break, Chuck, we were talking about how Best, this fellow criticizing his own scientific community, said that unfortunately the establishment failed to look at the cost that an intelligent cost-benefit analysis would have revealed. And understanding why this happened, though, is very, very important. And as I put it in my article, you know, part of the problem, Chuck, is that today we treasure professionals over prudence, degrees over discernment, researchers over Renaissance men, and experts over enlightenment. Now, here's the thing. Understand that experts, not in every case, there are exceptions, but in general are by definition narrow in focus. And that's why we had epidemiologists during the so-called pandemic who could prescribe lockdowns, thinking only of how to mitigate disease spread. And even there, their prescriptions were very dubious at best. But they were thinking only about that, and they completely ignored the action's negative secondary effects, okay? And what are they? Well, we saw a lot more death from other causes because of the lockdowns. I mean, increased suicide, domestic abuse, drug abuse, people not going in for medical checkups, not having cancer treatments, not detecting heart problems early enough, and so many other things that I can't even think of right now. And the point here, Chuck, is that experts have a very important role. I'm not putting them down, but it's not a leadership role, because when you have the narrowly focused in a position requiring a broad vision, that can invite destruction. And you know what I think about here, Chuck? I think about Rudy Giuliani. I wrote an essay about this some months ago, about how during the 90s, his policies really lowered crime in New York City. Even liberals give him credit for that. It's considered to be one of the miracles of city governance, if you look into it. Well, you know something? Giuliani was not an expert in any of the areas that he was dealing with, but he was wise enough to choose the right people, the right underlings, and wise enough to recognize good counsel when he saw it and turn it into policy. That's what happens, and that's what a good leader is supposed to do. Okay, but here's the thing now. This is the most important thing. You know, I said about this fellow Bass, though, who is criticizing his medical establishment. I said, okay, you know, we have to ask, though, will most of these people who specialized in the zen of being wrong, as I put it, and I mean they have become one with their wrong ideas, will they really learn anything? Okay, because the real issue here is not that these people blinded by prejudice were 180 degrees wrong about a disease. That was not the real issue. It's that they're the kind of people who could, blinded by prejudice, Chuck, be 180 degrees wrong about a disease, okay? And unless they experience some fundamental change of mind and heart, real fundamental change, not the kind Barack Obama talked about, you know what's going to happen? Next time we have some problem, they'll be 180 degrees wrong again, okay? It's not going to be COVID next time. It'll be something else. It'll be a different disease, or maybe it'll be a major war, or maybe it'll be some terrorist act or group of terrorist acts. But they'll get that wrong, too, because, again, they'll be led by emotion and what can you say?
that's the bane of man as well.
You know, when you and when you mention the word emotion, sometimes I substitute it with a different E instead of emotion, ego. You know, ego and power, and you could almost see the ego, especially with Fosse, Anthony. You know, just boy, you know, nothing. Well, I can't. There's certain words I can't use, but anyway, he thought he was immune to everything, every single thing there is, including criticism, apparently, right?
Look, Chuck, are you telling me that Anthony Fauci has a big ego, really? The man who believes that he's synonymous with science itself? Come on, that's a stretch.
And believes that that COVID had certain baseball stadium seats that were immune to COVID?
Yeah, I remember that. he had his mask down, right? His mask dropped. His mask
I got to tell you, you have so many great articles. My goodness, I got a stack here. Luckily, I can read them at home, you know, without having to, you know, waste your time, so to speak. but, listener, you can always go to SelwynDuke.com and read all of them. And here's one, Fascism Rising. There were some kids that were kicked out of the Smithsonian Museum. Why were they kicked out? I'm going to let Selwyn give you the rest of the title because kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, I guess this is the woke version of get off my lawn. You know, this is right up there or down there, you might say, with kicking puppies or mocking the handicapped. And what happened here was that on January 20th, there was an incident at the Smithsonian National Air and Space Museum in our esteemed capital, Washington, D.C., where some Catholic kids were visiting the museum, and they happened to be wearing these pro-life beanies, had little pro-life messages on them, and they were kicked out of the museum. So even though Catholic is a Greek word that means universal, I guess they're not universally loved. So Fox News reported on the story, and they said the students and chaperones from Our Lady of the Rosary School, based out of Greenville, South Carolina, they traveled to Washington, D.C., like I said, and their beanies simply had the words Rosary Pro-Life on them. Okay, so anyway, according to the American Center for Law and Justice, which is now representing the students, the museum staff actually mocked these kids. They hurled curse words at them, and then they claimed that the museum was a neutral zone. Neutral zone. Sounds like Star Trek with the Klingons, the neutral zone, right? Uh-huh. But where political or religious messages were not allowed. So anyway, the mother of one of the students said that the group was then approached by some security guard. The security guard said they had to take off their beanies or they had to leave the premises. And anyway, her daughter supposedly told the guard, well, look, this is how we're identifying each other so we can find each other. And long story short, they were.
Let me ask you this, okay, because I know the answer. Were any other students perhaps wearing hats or any other people wearing hats, or was it just these people that had covered their head?
Yeah, well, we understand, and it just makes sense because you're talking about a big place that sees a lot of traffic, that there were people with pride messages on their apparel. I mean, not most people, but it does happen. There are all sorts of political and social messages that people wear on their clothing, and none of them were molested at all. Now, here's the thing. Here's where it gets interesting. This museum, the Smithsonian, is a federal entity, Chuck, which receives more than $1 billion of our tax money every year. And what that means is they're not allowed to censor speech that's protected under the First Amendment. So the museum really is in a bit of trouble here. And like I said, the kids are represented by the ACLJ now, which is a good organization. And the museum actually had to admit error. It had to say, asking visitors, this was a statement by the museum, asking visitors to remove hats and clothing is not in keeping with our policy or protocols. That was Allison Wood, the museum's deputy director of communications. She said that to Fox News. Quote, we provided immediate training to prevent a recurrence of this kind of incident and have determined steps to ensure this does not happen again. Well, that's good, all well and good, but there's still going to be legal action, we understand, and that's understandable because the kids' day, their trip was ruined. They're not going to be going back there now anytime soon. And also, you have to understand that unless you hit these people where it hurts in the pocketbook, there's a good chance that
nothing's going to change. And
now the question
it's interesting,
is,
Chuck,
do you think the Smithsonian Museum doesn't read the newspaper or listen to radio and TV reports about things that happened? Because wasn't there something kind of like this with the Catholic pro-life youngsters somewhere else? Seems like something just happened not too long ago, 2019.
Yeah. 2019 with the Covington Catholic kids, that has been pointed out. Mm-hmm. They were also in Washington, D.C., also during the time of the March for Life. That's when these kids were in Washington as well. And, of course, then there was that problem where that silly Indian activist, Nathan Phillips was his name, confronted one of the kids. You know what happened. Anyway, the kids were besmirched in the media. They ended up, at least Nick Sandman did, getting huge settlements from CNN and others. But anyway, you know, it's very interesting because I point out in my article this whole idea about a neutral zone, and it's sounding like Star Trek, is sort of apropos because more and more Washington, D.C. really has become, Chuck, an alien place. And we've gotten the message that if we're traditional Americans, we really can't even protest or express our opinions in our nation's capital. And I'm not exaggerating. Think about it. Think about what happened to the January 6th political prisoners.
Right.
They were guilty at most of trespassing, and they were basically put in what is essentially a D.C. gulag. They're being put through the ringer. There are people who really didn't even do anything wrong who were persecuted. Then you had the Covington Catholic kids. Like I said, that also happened in Washington, D.C. This is like a no-go zone for traditionalists. That's what it's become. So it really is very telling about the direction in which our civilization is going.
It's a very important point of what's happening in the United States of America, because there haven't been too many cases like this. You know, in fact, the January 6 guys and women that are locked up, a lot of them, did you know, I'm sure you do, that they're even asking to be transferred to Cuba, to the prison we have over there. Did you know that?
Guantanamo.
Yeah.
No, I don't know that I did know that, but I'm not surprised. I mean, I wrote a long essay about that. They really have suffered terrible persecution.
Oh, yeah.
Their rights have been trampled, violated. And, you know, we have murderers who are not treated that badly, and it's obviously just political bias. There's no question about it. The regime is trying to send the message that, hey, if you're a traditionalist, if you oppose our establishment lines and you express that opposition, we're going to try to stamp you down any way we can. So you can.
If I was a writer, Selwyn, I think I would.
Yeah.
What you had written about that, I would have a title, you know, Pelosi's Revenge, because it seems like that's the lady that, the evil lady that caused all of this. Tell you the truth, you know, even had her part of her family filming because she knew something was going to happen. I mean, it's. One of these days, the whole truth and nothing but the truth will come out on that whole thing, January 6th, yeah.
It's interesting, though, Chuck, because isn't she the one who said when mobs were tearing down statues, people will do what they do? She dismissed it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't this just the same kind of thing? People will do what they do, Nancy. Why are you getting so up in arms at these January 6ers? It's because liberals operate based on what serves their purposes at the moment. Isn't that the truth, Chuck?
And remember, there was a firebombing on the Capitol, too, and the guy in charge... became a big leader for Obama getting into politics. I can't think of his name.
Bill Ayers, of the Weathermen, fame.
Weatherman,
absolutely.
Firebombed it.
Yeah.
None of them are in prison now. Amazing.
No, I know. What did he say? He said it himself. He said, quote, guilty as sin, free as a bird. I think that's exactly what he said. He was laughing about the whole thing.
Yeah. Because he...
I always said being a liberal means never having to say you're sorry. More and more, that's how it is now. I'm sorry.
There you go. No, you hit it right there. Exactly what I was going to say, but I was just going to put a different spin on it somehow. So anyway, boy, I'll tell you. Which one do you want to talk about now? Because we have very little time, about 3 minutes here before the break. I know you got some good ones. We got the affirmative action answer. Canadian official, U.S. middle class too rich, needs a pay cut. And then something about eggs. I don't think I really, I didn't have a chance to read the eggs one, but that was one you put out in January. So, it's up to you, sir. It's your show.
Okay. Okay. So anyway, you don't want to do the one about the flag, Chuck?
The flag? Let me see here. Let me find that.
Okay, that's my last one. If you didn't get it, that's okay. That's okay. My fault, probably.
No, the last two I got was the last two we just did. So I miss that one? Wow, that's apologize for that. You know what? You can ad lib it, and I'll just listen to it. How's that? Because I'm always interested in the flag. Yes.
Okay. Why don't we do this? Because this is a story that has not gotten a lot of play. But anyway, you will not believe what state flag wokesters now say is racist and must be scrapped. That's the title. Okay, and we're getting the message now that no stone shall be left unturned when it comes to the destruction of our civilization. Now, what flag, this racist state flag, what would it be? Well, Chuck, it's not some banner bearing a Confederate symbol. It's not some flag of an ex-slave state. No, it's the flag of a place that constitutionally forbade slavery when it attained statehood in 1858, and just a few years later, it devoted troops to the Union's Civil War efforts. Now, if you're a history buff, maybe you know what I'm talking about, but it's the land of 10,000 lakes. Yes, Minnesota. Right. Supposedly, the place stereotyped as Minnesota nice is guilty of Minnesota vice, according to the wokesters. But the issue has nothing to do with slavery. It has to do with the idea that they want to redesign the flag. And some people say it should be redesigned because it has an image of it on it of a white farmer tilling his field, and behind him an American Indian on a horse who's riding away. And supposedly the Root, which is a left-wing site that I quote, says that this is a depiction of the displacement of indigenous by the colonizers who, quote, found, unquote, America. Of course, that's a very tendentious interpretation, but that's what this site says. And anyway, I know we're coming up on a break, but here's the thing. I wouldn't even be talking about this, Chuck, except that Microsoft Network saw fit to put the Roots article on its homepage, thereby giving it a lot of exposure. And this is very, very bad for our country. So
yeah. Sort of
what
like
I did was...
took that land away from them, right? Yeah. And the Indian was scared and he was running away. Oh, boy, I'll tell you. What in the world is going on in the U.S. of A.? All right. Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and you can get all his great articles at SelwynDuke.com, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com. We'll be back with the rest of the story in just a moment.
Do you want to fly somewhere, anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-445-3166. 800-445-3166. That's 800-445-3166. Call now. 800-445-3166.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, Life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RootsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, writer for The New American, and we are discussing unbelievable stupidity again. You won't believe what state flag wokesters now say is racist and must be scrapped. I guess, Selwyn, they think all you have to do is destroy the past and everything will be just wonderful, I guess. They have no idea what it took to build a great country. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Chuck. And let me just mention that there's been a long-standing effort to redesign the Minnesota state flag, it turns out, for more mundane reasons. But now you also have these cultural revolutionaries claiming it's racist, which, by the way, is complete and utter nonsense. Now, just to show you how irresponsible these people are, Chuck, I did something they didn't do. I actually researched the history of the flag. And you know what I found out at worldatlas.com? They explained its meaning. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's very long. But there's a lot of meaning behind the flag. But as far as the image goes, the one in question, it says, the images on the seal are a man plowing and an indigenous American Indian on horseback holding an axe and a gun. Images symbolize the rich agricultural potential, the landscape, and the heritage of the early inhabitants. And who created the flag? Well, U.S. Flag's website relates that in preparation, quote, for the 1893 Chicago World's Fair, a Minnesota Women's Auxiliary Board was put together to create a design for a flag. They hosted a contest, and from 200 submissions, local artist Amelia Hyde Center designed the winning flag. It was adopted in 1893. Now, there were no bad intentions behind it. And here's the thing. The left-wingers in question who want to cancel this flag didn't do the research I just did. They didn't care at all. And this illustrates something, Chuck. All these cultural revolutionaries can do is destroy. They're just like destructive children. And we pander to their tantrums.
Hey, let me ask you, do you think they thought about going after the Minnesota Women's Auxiliary Board for holding this thing in the first place?
No, because they didn't even know about it. I'm telling you, they didn't do any research at all, Chuck. That's the thing. They don't care. These are like rebellious kids who hate the family. Uh-huh. That's the nature of liberalism. It's all about changing the status quo, whatever the status quo happens to be. So they're always rebelling against what is. And the wider problem is that too many other people pander to them. Too many modernist Americans treat these people the way they raise their own children, with permissiveness and pandering. They don't just say, no, no, we're not going to pander to you. Instead, they respond to their irrational tantrums with capitulation, which, guess what? That just perpetuates the behavior.
And all these monuments, you know, flags, monuments, Lincoln Monument, tear it down, yes. Oh, boy, you know, it's...
Mount Rushmore, too, now.
Oh, I'll tell you, it is amazing, amazing.
I predicted that in 2017, by the way. I wrote an article, When Will They Blow Up Mount Rushmore?
You know, and it's... I don't, it's mainly the education system, you know. They don't want to teach history anymore. And one of the things I always talk about, Selwyn, and people say, I never heard of that before. Well, you can check it out, too, is they're not teaching about, you know, the United States being the first country to go to the moon. because, see, that makes the other kids that are not from the United States feel like, well, golly, you know, my homeland was just, unbelievable. Oh, well.
Poor bubbies. Yeah.
Well, keep up the good work. Eventually, they're going to just take you so seriously that everything's going to be great. How's that? All right?
We can only hope. God bless, Chuck. Thank
you. God bless you. Selwyn Duke. And it's selwynduke.com. S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com. Thank you, Mr. Dayton. And thank you for listening. And God bless the United States of America.